can do that?
I explained. In time it takes us to hiccup. You'll get used to it.
But heavens, Manny, do you realize what sort of pictures the clinic takes?
Hadn't thought about it.
Then don't. Goodness.
Mike spoke in voice painfully shy, embarrassed as the puppy who has made mistakes.
Gospa Jawayo, if I have offended, it was unintentional, and I am most sorry. I can erase those pictures from my temporary storage, and key the clinic archive so that I can look at them only on retrieval demand from the clinic, and then without association or mentation. Shall I do so?
He can, I assured her. With Mike, you can always make a fresh start. Better than humans that way. He can forget so completely that he can't be tempted to look later, and couldn't think about them, even if called on to retrieve. So take his offer, if you're in a ho-ho.
No, Mike. It's all right for you to see them, but don't show them to Manny.
Mike hesitated a long time, 4 seconds or more.
Was, I think, in type of dilemma that pushes lesser computers into nervous breakdowns. But he resolved it. Man, my only friend, shall I accept this instruction?
Program it, Mike, I answered, and lock it in. But, Wyo, isn't that a narrow attitude? One might do you justice. Mike could print it out for me next time I'm there.
The first example in each series, Mike offered, would be on the basis of my associational analyses of such data, of such pulchritudinous value as to please any healthy, mature human male.
How about it, Wyo? To pay for Apostrudel?
A picture of me with my hair pinned up in a towel and standing in front of a grid without a trace of makeup? Are you out of your rock-happy mind? Mike, don't let him have it. I shall not let him have it. Man, this is a not stupid?
For a girl, yes. Girls are interesting, Mike. They can reach conclusions with even less data than you can. Shall we drop subject and consider jokes? That diverted them. We ran down list, giving our conclusions. Then tried to explain jokes Mike had failed to understand, with mixed success. But the real stumbler turned out to be stories I had marked funny and Wyo had judged not funny, or vice versa. Wyo asked Mike his opinion of each. Wish he had asked him before we gave our opinions. That electronic juvenile delinquent always agreed with her, disagreed with me. Were those Mike's honest opinions? Or was he trying to lubricate new acquaintance into friendship? Or was it his skewed notion of humor? Joke on me? Didn't ask. But as pattern completed, Wyo wrote a note on phone's memo pad. Manny, regarding number 17, 51, 53, 87, 90, and 99. Mike is a she. I let it go with a shrug, stood up. Mike, 22 hours since I have slept. You kids chat as long as you want to. Call you tomorrow.
Good night, man. Sleep well. Wyo, are you sleepy?
No, Mike. I had a nap. But Manny, we'll keep you awake, no?
No. When I am sleepy, I sleep. Started making couch into bed. Wyo said,
Excuse me, Mike.
Got up, took sheet out of my hands.
I'll make it up later. You doss over there, Tavarish. You're bigger than I am. Sprawl out.
Was too tired to argue. Sprawled out, asleep at once. Seemed to remember hearing, in sleep, giggles and a shriek, but never woke enough to be certain. Woke up later and came fully awake when I realized was hearing two femme voices. One, Wyo's warm contralto, other, a sweet, high soprano with French accent. Wyo chuckled at something and answered,
All right, Michelle, dear. I'll call you soon. Night, darling. Fine. Good night, dear.
Wyo stood up, turned around. Who is your girlfriend? I asked. Thought she knew no one in Luna City. Might have phoned Hong Kong. Had sleep-logged feeling was some reason she shouldn't phone.
What?
Why, Mike, of course. We didn't mean to wake you.
What?
Oh, it was actually Michelle. I discussed it with Mike. What sex he was, I mean. He decided that he could be either one. So now she's Michelle, and that was her voice. Got it right the first time, too. Her voice never cracked once.
Of course not. Just shifted Vodder a couple of octaves. What are you trying to do, split his personality?
It's not just pitch. When she's Michelle, it's an entire change in manner and attitude. Don't worry about splitting her personality. She has plenty for any personality she needs. Besides, Manny, it's much easier for both of us. Once she shifted, we took her hair down and cuddled up and talked girl talk as if we had known each other forever. For example, those silly pictures no longer embarrassed me. In fact, we discussed my pregnancies quite a lot. Michelle was terribly interested. She knows all about OB and GY and so forth, but just theory, and she appreciated the raw facts. Actually, Manny, Michelle is much more a woman than Mike was a man.
Well, suppose it's okay. Going to be a shock to me the first time I call Mike and a woman answers.
Oh, but she won't.
Huh?
Michelle is my friend. When you call, you'll get Mike. She gave me a number to keep it straight. Michelle, spelled with a Y. M-Y-C-H-E-L-L-E and Y-Y, to make it come out 10.
I felt vaguely jealous, while realizing it was silly. Suddenly, Y-O giggled.
And she told me a string of new jokes, ones you wouldn't think were funny. And boy, does she know rough ones.
Mike, Boris' sister Michelle is a low creature. Let's make up couch, I'll switch.
Stay where you are. Shut up, turn over. Go back to sleep.
I shut up, turned over, went back to sleep. Sometime much later, I became aware of married feeling. Something warm snuggling up to my back. Would not have wakened, but she was sobbing softly. I turned and got her head on my arm. Did not speak. She stopped sobbing. Presently, breathing became slow and even. I went back to sleep. 5.
We must have slept like dead, for next thing I knew, a phone was sounding and its light was blinking.
I called for room lights, started to get up, found a load on right upper arm, dumped it gently, climbed over, answered. Mike said,
"Good morning, man. Professor De La Paz is talking to your home number."
"Can you switch it here? As a Sherlock?"
"Certainly, man."
"Don't interrupt call. Cut him in as he switches off. Where is he?"
"A public phone. In a tap room called the Iceman's Wife. Underneath the..."
"I know. Mike, when you switch me in, can you stay in circuit? Want you to monitor."
"It shall be done."
"Can you tell if anyone is in earshot? Hear breathing?"
"I infer from the anechoic quality of his voice that he is speaking under a hush hood. But I infer also that, in a tap room, others would be present. Do you wish to hear, man?"
Do that. Switch me in. If he raises hood, tell me. You're a smart cobber, Mike."
"Thank you, man."
Mike cut me in. I found that Mom was talking.
"Here, I'll tell him, Professor. I'm so sorry Manuel is not home. There is no number you can give me? He is anxious to return your call. He made quite a point that I was to be sure to get a number from you."
"I'm terribly sorry, dear lady, but I'm leaving at once. But, let me see. It is now 8:15. I'll try to call back just at 9, if I may."
"Certainly, Professor."
Mom's voice had a coo in it that she reserves for males not her husband's, of whom she approves. Sometimes for us. A moment later, Mike said,
"Now."
And I spoke up. "Hi, Prof. Have you been looking for me? This is Manny." I heard a gasp.
"I would have sworn I switched this phone off."
"Why, I have switched it off. It must be broken."
"Manuel.
Huh. So good to hear your voice, dear boy. Did you just get home?" "I'm not home."
But you must be. I haven't..."
"No time for that, Prof. Can anyone overhear you?"
I don't think so. I'm using a hush booth.
Wish I could see.
Prof, what's my birthday?
He hesitated. Then he said,
I see. I think I see. July 14th.
I'm convinced. Okay, let's talk.
You're really not calling from your home, Manuel?
Where are you?
Let that pass a moment. You asked my wife about a girl. No names needed. Why do you want to find her, Prof?
I want to warn her. She must not try to go back to her home city. She would be arrested.
Why do you think so?
Dear boy, everyone at that meeting is in grave danger. Yourself, too. I was so happy, even though confused, to hear you say that you are not at home. You should not go home at present. If you have some safe place to stay, it would be well to take a vacation. You are aware, you must be, even though you left hastily, that there was violence last night.
I was aware. Killing warden's bodyguards must be against authority regulations. At least, if I were warden, I'd take a dim view.
Thanks, Prof, I'll be careful. And if I see this girl, I'll tell her. You don't know where to find her? You were seen to leave with her, and I had so hoped that you would know.
Prof, why this interest? Last night you didn't seem to be on her side.
No, no, Manuel. She is my comrade. I don't say tovarish, for I mean it not just as politeness, but in the older sense, binding. She is my comrade. We differ only in tactics, not in objectives, not in loyalties.
I see. Well, consider message delivered. She'll get it.
Oh, ha ha, wonderful. I ask no questions, but I do hope, oh, so very strongly, that you can find a way for her to be safe, really safe, until this blows over.
I thought it over. Wait a minute, Prof. Don't switch off.
As I answered phone, Wyo had headed for bath, probably to avoid listening. She was that sort. Tapped on door.
Wyo?
Out in a second.
Need advice.
She opened door.
Yes, Manny?
How does Professor De La Paz rate in your organization? Is he trusted? Do you trust him?
She looked thoughtful.
Everyone at the meeting was supposed to be vouched for, but I don't know him.
Hmm. You have feeling about him?
I like him, even though he argued against me. Do you know anything about him?
Oh, yes. Known him 20 years. I trust him, but can't extend trust for you.
Trouble, it's your air bottle, not mine.
She smiled warmly.
Manny, since you trust him, I trust him just as firmly.
I went back to phone.
Prof, are you on Dodge?
He chuckled.
Precisely, Manuel.
Know a hole called Grand Hotel Raffles? Room L, 2 decks below lobby. Can you get there without tracks? Have you had breakfast? What do you like for breakfast?
He chuckled again.
Manuel, one pupil can make a teacher feel that his years were not wasted.
I know where it is. I shall get there quietly. I have not broken fast, and I eat anything I can't pat.
Wyo had started putting beds together. I want to help. What do you want for breakfast?
Share and toast. Juice would be nice.
Not enough.
Well, a boiled egg? But I pay for breakfast.
2 boiled eggs. Buttered toast with jam. Juice. I'll roll you.
Your dice are mine.
Mine. I cheat. I went to Lyft, asked for display. Saw something called the Happy Hangover, all portions extra large. Tomato juice, scrambled eggs, ham steak, fried potatoes, corn cakes and honey, toast, butter, milk, tea or coffee. HKL, $4.50 for two. I ordered it for two. No wish to advertise third person. We were clean and shining. Room orderly and set for breakfast, and Wyo had changed from black outfit into red dress, because company was coming, when Lyft jingled food. Change into dress had caused words,
She had paused, smiled, and said,
"Manny, I'm so pleased with this dress. How did you know it would suit me so well?"
"Genius."
"I think you may be. What did it cost? I must pay you."
"On sale. Marked down to authority cents, 50. She clouded up and stomped foot. "Was bare. Made no sound. Caused her to bounce a half meter. Happy landing," I wished her, while she pawed for foothold like a new chum.
"Manuel O'Kelly, if you think I will accept expensive clothing from a man I'm not even bundling with..."
"Easily corrected."
"Letcher, I'll tell your wives."
"Do that. Mum always thinks worst of me." I went to lift, started dealing out dishes. Door sounded. I flipped, hear him, no see him. "Who comes?"
"Message for Gospodin Smith."
A correct voice answered.
"Gospodin Bernardo Smith."
I flipped bolts and let Professor Bernardo de la Paz in. He looked like poor grade of salvage. Dirty clothes, filthy himself, hair unkempt, paralyzed down one side and hand-twisted, one eye a film of cataract. Perfect picture of old wrecks who sleep in bottom alley, and cage drinks, and pickled eggs in cheap taprooms. He drooled. As soon as I bolted door, he straightened up, let features come back to normal, folded hands over wishbone, looked while up and down, sucked air kimono style, and whistled. "Even more lovely," he said, "than I remembered." She smiled, over her mad.
"Thanks, Professor, but don't bother. Nobody here but comrades."
"Señorita, the day I let politics interfere with my appreciation of beauty, that day I retire from politics. But you are gracious." He looked away, glanced closely around the room. I said, "Prof, quit checking for evidence, you dirty old man. Last night was politics, nothing but politics."
"That's not true."
Wyo flared up.
"I struggled for hours, but he was too strong for me. Professor, what's the party discipline in such cases, here in Luna City?"
Prof tut-tutted and rolled blank eye. "Manuel, I am surprised. It's a serious matter, my dear. Elimination, usually. But it must be investigated. Did you come here willingly?"
"He drugged me."
"Dragged, dear lady. Let's not corrupt the language. Do you have bruises to show?" I said, "Egg's getting cold. Can't we eliminate me after breakfast?"
"An excellent thought," agreed Prof.
"Manuel, could you spare your old teacher a liter of water to make himself more presentable?" "All you want in there. Don't drag or you'll get what the littlest pig got."
"Thank you, sir."
He retired. Were sounds of brushing and washing. Wyo and I finished arranging table.
"Bruises," I said. "Struggled all night."
"You deserved it. You insulted me."
"How?"
"You failed to insult me, that's how. After you drugged me here."
Had to get Mike to analyze that.
"Michelle would understand it." "Manny, may I change my mind and have a little piece of that ham?"
"Half is yours. Prof is semi-vegetarian." Prof came out and, while did not look his most debonair, was neat and clean. Hair combed, dimples back, and happy sparkle in eye. Fake cataract gone. "Prof, how do you do it?"
"Long practice, Manuel. I've been in this business far longer than you young people. Just once, many years ago in Lima, a lovely city, I ventured to stroll on a fine day without such forethought, and it got me transported."
"What a beautiful table."
"Sit by me, Prof," Wyo invited. "I don't want to sit by him, rapist."
"Look," I said, "first we eat, then we eliminate me. Prof, fill plate and tell what happened last night."
"May I suggest a change in program? Manuel, the life of a conspirator is not an easy one, and I learned before you were born not to mix provender and politics. Disturbs the gastric enzymes and leads to ulcers, the occupational disease of the underground.
Hmm, that fish smells good.
Fish?
That pink salmon? Prof answered, pointing at Ham. A long, pleasant time later, we reached coffee tea stage. Prof leaned back, sighed, and said, Bolshaya spasiba gospodja, I gospodin.
Tak for mat.
It was wonderfully good. I don't know when I felt more at peace with the world. Ah, yes. Last evening. I saw not too much of the proceedings because, just as you two were achieving an admirable retreat, I lived to fight another day. I bugged out. Made it to the wings in one long flat dive. When I did venture to peek out, the party was over. Most had left, and all Yellow Jackets were dead.
Note. Must correct this. I learned more later. When trouble started, I was trying to get Wyo through door. Prof produced a handgun and fired over heads, picking off three bodyguards at rear main door, including one wearing bull voice. How he smuggled the weapon up to the rock, or managed to liberate it later, I don't know. But Prof's shooting joined with Shorty's work to turn tables. Not one Yellow Jacket got out alive. Several people were burned, and four were killed. But knives, hands, and heels finished it in seconds.
Perhaps I should say, all but one, Prof went on. Two Cossacks at the door through which you departed had been given quietus by our brave comrade Shorty McCrum, and I am sorry to say that Shorty was lying across them, dying.
We knew.
So, Dulce et decorum. One guard in that doorway had a damaged face but was still moving. I gave his neck a treatment known in professional circles Earthside as the Istanbul Twist. He joined his mates. By then most of the living had left. Just myself, our chairman of the evening, Finn Nielsen, a comrade known as Mom, that being what her husbands called her. I consulted with Comrade Finn, and we bolted all doors. That left a cleaning job. Do you know the arrangements backstage there?
Not me, I said.
Wyo shook head. There is a kitchen and pantry, used for banquets. I suspect that Mom and family run a butcher shop, for they disposed of bodies as fast as Finn and I carried them back, their speed limited only by the rate at which portions could be ground up and flushed into the city's cloaca. The sight made me quite faint. So I spent time mopping in the hall. Clothing was the difficult part, especially those quasi-military uniforms.
What did you do with those laser guns?
Prof turned bland eyes on me.
Guns? Dear me, they must have disappeared. We removed everything of a personal nature from bodies of our departed comrades, for relatives, for identification, for sentiment. Eventually, we had everything tidy. Not a job that would fool Interpol, but one as to make it seem unlikely that anything untoward had taken place. We conferred, agreed that it would be well not to be seen soon, and left severally, myself by a pressure door above the stage leading up to level 6. Thereafter I tried to call you, Manuel, being worried about your safety and that of this dear lady.
Prof bowed to Wyo. That completes the tale. I spent the night in quiet places.
Prof, I said, those guards were new chums, still getting their legs, or we wouldn't have won.
That could be, he agreed, but had they not been, the outcome would have been the same.
How so? They were armed.
Lad, have you ever seen a boxer dog? Oh, I think not. No dogs that large in Luna. The boxer is a result of special selection. Gentle and intelligent, he turns instantly into deadly killer when occasion requires. Here has been bred an even more curious creature. I know of no city on Terra with as high standards of good manners and consideration for one's fellow man as here in Luna. By comparison, Terran cities, I have known most major ones, are barbaric. Yet the loony is as deadly as the boxer dog. Manuel, 9 guards, no matter how armed,
stood no chance against that pack. Our patron used bad judgment.
Seen the morning paper, Prof? Or a videocast?
The latter, yes.
Nothing in late news last night.
Nor this morning.
Odd, I said.
What's odd about it?
Asked Wyo.
We won't talk, and we have comrades in key places in every paper in Luna.
Prof shook his head.
No, my dear. Not that simple.
Censorship.
Do you know how copy is set in our newspapers?
Not exactly. It's done by machinery.
Here's what Prof means, I told her. News is typed in editorial offices. From there on, it's a list service directed by a master computer at Authority Complex.
Hoped she would notice master computer rather than Mike.
Copy prints out there via phone circuit. These rolls feed into a computer section which reads, sets copy, and prints out newspapers at several locations. Novelin edition of Daily Lunatic prints out in Novelin changes in ads and local stories. And computer makes changes from standard symbols. Doesn't have to be told how. What Prof means is that at printout, at Authority Complex, Warden could intervene. Same for all news services. Both off and to Luna. They funnel through computer room.
The point is, Prof went on, the Warden could have killed the story. It's irrelevant whether he did. Or, check me, Manuel, you know I'm hazy about machinery. He could insert a story, too, no matter how many comrades we have in newspaper offices.
Sure, I agreed. At Complex, anything can be added, cut, or changed.
And that, Señorita, is the weakness of our cause.
Communications.
Those goons were not important. But crucially important is that it lay with the Warden, not with us, to decide whether the story should be told. To a revolutionist, communications are sine qua non.
Wyo looked at me, and I could see synapses snapping. So I changed subject.
Prof, why get rid of bodies? Besides, horrible job was dangerous.
Don't know how many bodyguards Warden has, but more could show up while you were doing it.
Believe me, lad, we feared that. But although I was almost useless, it was my idea. I had to convince the others. Oh, not my original idea, but remembrance of things past. An historical principle.
What principle?
Terror. A man can face known danger, but the unknown frightens him. We disposed of those finks, teeth and toenails, to strike terror into their mates. Nor do I know how many effectives the Warden has, but I guarantee they are less effective today. Their mates went out on an easy mission. Nothing came back.
Wyo shivered.
It scares me, too. They won't be anxious to go inside a warren again. But, Professor, you say you don't know how many bodyguards the Warden keeps. The organization knows. 27. If 9 were killed, only 18 are left. Perhaps it's time for a putsch. No?
No, I answered.
Why not, Manny? They'll never be weaker.
Not weak enough. Killed 9 because they were crackers to walk in where we were. But if Warden stays home with guards around him, well, had enough shoulder-to-shoulder noise last night. I turned to Prof. But still I'm interested in fact, if it is, that Warden now has only 18. You said Wyo should not go to Hong Kong, and I should not go home. But if he has only 18 left, I wonder how much danger. Later, after he gets reinforcements, but now, well, El Cid has 4 main exits, plus many little ones. How many can they guard? What's to keep Wyo from walking to Tube West, getting Pisut, going home?
She might, Prof agreed.
I think I must, Wyo said. I can't stay here forever. If I have to hide, I can do better in Hong Kong, where I know people.
You might get away with it, my dear.
I doubt it. There were 2 yellow jackets at Tube Station West last night.
I saw them.
They may not be there now. Let's assume they are not. You go to the station, disguised, perhaps. You get your pea suit and take a capsule to Beluthahatchee. As you climb out to take the bus to Ennsville, you're arrested. Communications. No need to post a yellow jacket at the station. It is enough that someone sees you there. A phone call does the rest.
But you assumed that I was disguised.
Your height cannot be disguised, and your pressure suit would be watched by someone not suspected of any connection to the warden. Most probably a comrade.
Prof dimpled.
The trouble with conspiracies is that they rot internally. When the number is as high as 4, chances are even that one is a spy.
Wyle said glumly,
"You make it sound hopeless."
Not at all, my dear. One chance in 1,000, perhaps.
I can't believe it. I don't believe it. Why, in the years I've been active, we have gained members by the hundreds. We have organizations in all major cities. We have the people with us.
Prof shook head.
Every new member made it that much more likely that you would be betrayed. Wyoming, dear lady, revolutions are not won by enlisting the masses. Revolution is a science only a few are competent to practice. It depends on correct organization, and above all, on communications. Then, at the proper moment in history, they strike. Correctly organized and properly timed, it is a bloodless coup. Done clumsily or prematurely, and the result is civil war, mob violence, purges, terror. I hope you will forgive me if I say that. Up to now, it has been done clumsily.
Wyle looked baffled.
What do you mean by correct organization?
Functional organization. How does one design an electric motor? Would you attach a bathtub to it, simply because one was available? Would a bouquet of flowers help? A heap of rocks? No. You would use just those elements necessary to its purpose, and make it no larger than needed. And you would incorporate safety factors. Function controls design. So it is with revolution. Organization must be no larger than necessary. Never recruit anyone merely because he wants to join, nor seek to persuade for the pleasure of having another share your views.
He'll share them when the time comes, or you've misjudged the moment in history.
Oh, there will be an educational organization, but it must be separate. Agitprop is no part of basic structure.
As to basic structure, a revolution starts as a conspiracy. Therefore, structure is small, secret, and organized as to minimize damage by betrayal, since there always are betrayals. One solution is the cell system, and so far nothing better has been invented. Much theorizing has gone into optimum cell size. I think that history shows that a cell of 3 is best. More than 3 can't agree on when to have dinner, much less when to strike. Manuel, you belong to a large family. Do you vote on when to have dinner?
Bog, no. Man decides.
Ah.
Prof took a pad from his pouch, began to sketch. Here is a cells of 3 tree. If I were planning to take over Luna, I would start with us 3. One would be opted as chairman. We wouldn't vote. Choice would be obvious. Or we aren't the right 3. We would know the next 9 people, 3 cells, but each cell would only know one of us.
Looks like computer diagram, a ternary logic.
Does it really?
At the next level, there are 2 ways of linking. This comrade, second level, knows his cell leader, his 2 cellmates, and on the 3rd level, he knows the 3 in his subcell. He may or may not know his cellmate's subcells. One method doubles security. The other doubles speed of repair if security is penetrated. Let's say he does not know his cellmate's subcells. Manuel, how many can he betray? Don't say he won't. Today they can brainwash any person, and starch and iron and use him. How many?
6, I answered.
His boss, 2 cellmates, 3 in subcell.
7, Pruff corrected. He betrays himself, too. Which leaves 7 broken links on 3 levels to repair. How?
I don't see how it can be, objected Lyo. You've got them so split up it falls to pieces.
Manuel, an exercise for the student? Well, blocks down here have to have way to send message up 3 levels. Don't have to know who. Just have to know where.
Precisely.
But, Prof, I went on, there's a better way to rig it.
Really?
Many revolutionary theorists have hammered this out, Manuel. I have such confidence in them that I'll offer you a wager. At, say, 10 to 1?
Ought to take your money.
Take stem cells. Arrange an open pyramid of tetrahedrons. Where verticals are in common, each block knows 1 in adjoining cell. Knows how to send message to him. That's all he needs. Communication never break down because they run sideways as well as up and down. Something like a neural net. It's why you can knock a hole in a man's head, take chunk of brain out, and not damage thinking much. Excess capacity. Messages shunt around. He loses what was destroyed but goes on functioning.
Manuel, Prof said doubtfully, could you draw a picture? It sounds good, but it's so contrary to orthodox doctrine that I need to see it.
Well, could do better with stereo drafting machine. I'll try. Anybody who thinks it's easy to sketch 121 tetrahedrons, a 5-level open pyramid, clear enough to show relationships, is invited to try. Presently, I said, look at base sketch. Each vertex of each triangle shares half with 0, 1 or 2 other triangles. Where shares 1, that's its link. 1 direction or both. But 1 is enough for multiply redundant communication net. On corners, where sharing is 0, it jumps to right to next corner. Where sharing is double, choice is again right-handed. Now work it with people. Take level 4, D for dog. This vertex is Comrade Dan. No, let's go down 1 to show 3 levels of communication knocked out. Level E for easy. Comrade Egbert. Egbert works under Donald. Has cellmates Edward and Elmer. And has 3 under him. Frank, Fred, and Fatso. But knows how to send message to Ezra on his own level, but not in his cell. He does not know Ezra's name, face, address, or anything, but has a way, phone number, probably, to reach Ezra in emergency. Now watch it work. Casimir, level 3, thinks out and betrays Charlie and Cox in his cell. Baker above him, and Donald, Dan, and Dick in subcell, which isolates Egbert, Edward, and Elmer, and everybody under them. All 3 report in. Redundancy. Necessary to any communication system. But follow Egbert's yell for help. He calls Ezra, but Ezra is under Charlie and is isolated too. No matter. Ezra relays both messages through his safety link, Edmund. By bad luck, Edmund is under Cox, so he also passes it laterally, through Enright. And that gets it past Burned Out Part. And it goes up through Dover, Chambers, and Beeswax, to Adam, front office, who replies down other side of pyramid, with lateral pass on E for easy level, from Esther to Egbert, and on to Ezra and Edmund. These 2 messages, up and down, not only get through at once, but in way they get through. They define to home office exactly how much damage has been done and where. Organization not only keeps functioning, but starts repairing itself at once. Lyo was tracing out lines, convincing herself it would work. Which it would, was idiot circuit. Let Mike study a few milliseconds, and could produce a better, safer, more foolproof hookup. And probably, certainly, ways to avoid betrayal while speeding up routings. But I'm not a computer. Prof was staring with blank expression.
What's trouble? I said. It'll work. This is my pigeon. Manuel, my... excuse me. Señor O'Kelly, will you head this revolution?
Me?
Great bug, niet! I'm no lost cause martyr. Just talking about circuits.
Wyo looked up. Manny, she said soberly, you're opted. It's settled.
6.
Did like hell settle it.
Prof said, Manuel, don't be hasty. Here we are. 3. The perfect number. With a variety of talents and experience. Beauty. Age. A mature male drive.
I don't have any drive.
Please, Manuel. Let us think in the widest terms before attempting decisions. And to facilitate such, may I ask if this hostel stocks potables? I have a few florins I could put into the stream of trade.
Was most sensible word heard in an hour. Still Ignaya Vodka?
Sound choice. He reached for pouch.
Tell it to Bear, I said, and ordered a liter plus ice. It came down. Was tomato juice from breakfast.
Now, I said, after we toasted. Prof, what do you think of Penn and Rice? Got money says Yankees can't do it again? Manuel, what is your political philosophy?
With that new boy from Milwaukee, I feel like investing.
Sometimes a man doesn't have to define it, but under Socratic inquiry, knows where he stands and why.
I'll back him against Field, 3-2.
What? You young idiot. How much?
300. Hong Kong.
Done. For example, under what circumstances may the state justly place its welfare above that of a citizen?
Manny, Lyo asked, do you have any more foolish money? I think well of the fillies.
I looked her over.
Just what were you thinking of betting?
You go to hell, rapist.
Prof, as I see, are no circumstances under which state is justified in placing its welfare ahead of mine.
Good. We have a starting point.
Manny, said Wyo, that's a most self-centered evaluation.
I'm a most self-centered person.
Oh, nonsense. Who rescued me? Me, a stranger. I didn't try to exploit it. Professor, I was cracking, not facking. Manny was a perfect knight.
Sans pareil, sans reproche.
I knew. I've known him for years, which is not inconsistent with the evaluation he expressed. Oh, but it is. Not the way things are, but under the ideal toward which we aim. Manny, the state is Luna. Even though not sovereign yet, we hold citizenships elsewhere. But I am part of the Luna state, and so is your family. Would you die for your family?
Two questions not related.
Oh, but they are. That's the point.
Niet. I know my family. Opted long ago.
Dear lady, I must come to Manuel's defense. He has a correct evaluation, even though he may not be able to state it.
May I ask this? Under what circumstances is it moral for a group to do that which is not moral for a member of that group to do alone?
That's a trick question.
It is the key question, dear Wyoming. A radical question that strikes to the root of the whole dilemma of government. Anyone who answers honestly and abides by all consequences knows where he stands and what he will die for.
Wyo frowned. Not moral for a member of the group?
She said. Professor, what are your political principles?
May I first ask yours, if you can state them?
Huh, certainly I can. I'm a fifth internationalist. Most of the organization is. Oh, we don't rule out anyone going our way. It's a united front. We have communists, and fourths, and readyites, and societians, and single taxers, and you name it. But I'm no Marxist. We fifths have a practical program. Private,
where private belongs, public where it's needed, and an admission that circumstances alter cases. Nothing doctrinaire.
Capital punishment?
For what?
Let's say for treason, against Luna after you freed Luna.
Treason how? Unless I knew the circumstances, I could not decide.
Nor could I, dear Wyoming, but I believe in capital punishment under some circumstances, with this difference. I would not ask a court. I would try, condemn, execute sentence myself, and accept full responsibility.
But, Professor, what are your political beliefs?
I'm a rational anarchist.
I don't know that brand.
Anarchist individualist, anarchist communist, Christian anarchist, philosophical anarchist, syndicalist, libertarian, those I know. But what's this? Randite?
I can get along with a Randite. A rational anarchist believes that concepts such as state and society and government have no existence save as physically exemplified in the acts of self-responsible individuals. He believes that it is impossible to shift blame, share blame, distribute blame, as blame, guilt, responsibility are matters taking place inside human beings singly, and nowhere else. But being rational, he knows that not all individuals hold his evaluations. So he tries to live perfectly in an imperfect world, aware that his effort will be less than perfect, yet undismayed by self-knowledge of self-failure.
"Hear, hear," I said. "Less than perfect, what I've been aiming for all my life."
"You've achieved it," said Wyo. "Professor, your words sound good, but there is something slippery about them. Too much power in the hands of individuals. Surely you would not want, well, H missiles, for example, to be controlled by one irresponsible person."
"My point is that one person is responsible. Always. If H-bombs exist, and they do, some man controls them. In terms of morals, there is no such thing as state. Just men. Individuals. Each responsible for his own acts."
"Anybody need a refill?" I asked.
"Nothing uses up alcohol faster than political argument." I sent for another bottle.
I did not take part.
I was not dissatisfied back when we were ground under iron heel of authority. I cheated authority, and the rest of time didn't think about it. Didn't think about getting rid of authority. Impossible. Go one way, mind own business, not be bothered. True, didn't have luxuries then. By Earthside standards, we were poor. If had to be imported, mostly did without. Don't think there was a powered door in all Luna. Even pea suits used to be fetched up from Terra, until a smart Chinee, before I was born, figured out to make monkey copies better and simpler. Could dump 2 Chinee down in one of our Maria, and they would get rich selling rocks to each other while raising 12 kids. Then a Hindu would sell retail stuff he got from them wholesale, below cost at fat profit. We got along. I had seen those luxuries Earthside. Wasn't worth what they put up with. Don't mean heavy gravity. That doesn't bother me. I mean nonsense. All time, kokui moa. If chicken guano on one earthworm city was shipped to Luna, fertilizer problem would be solved for century. Do this. Don't do that. Stay back of line. Where's tax receipt? Fill out form. Let's see license. Submit 6 copies. Exit only. No left turn. No right turn. Queue up to pay fine. Take back and get stamped. Drop dead. But first, get permit. Wyo plowed doggedly into Proof, certain she had all answers. But Proof was interested in questions rather than answers, which baffled her. Finally she said,
"Professor, I can't understand you. I don't insist that you call it government. I just want you to state what rules you think are necessary to ensure equal freedom for all."
"Dear lady, I'll happily accept your rules."
"But you don't seem to want any rules."
"True. But I will accept any rules that you feel necessary to your freedom. I am free, no matter what rules surround me. If I find them tolerable,
I tolerate them. If I find them too obnoxious, I break them. I am free because I know that I alone am morally responsible for everything I do. You would not abide by a law that the majority felt was necessary?
Tell me what law, dear lady, and I will tell you whether I will obey it.
You wiggled out. Every time I state a general principle, you wiggle out.
Prof clasped hands on chest.
Forgive me.
Believe me, lovely Wyoming, I am most anxious to please you. You spoke of a willingness to unite the front with anyone going your way. Is it enough that I want to see the authority thrown off Luna and would die to serve that end?
Wyo beamed. It certainly is.
She fisted his ribs, gently, then put arm around him and kissed cheek.
Comrade, let's get on with it.
Cheers, I said. Let's Finn Warden and eliminate him. Seemed a good idea. I'd had the short night and don't usually drink much.
Prof topped our glasses, held his high and announced with great dignity,
Comrades, we declare the revolution. That got us both kissed, but sobered me as Prof sat down and said, The Emergency Committee of Free Luna is in session. We must plan action.
I said, Wait, Prof. I didn't agree to anything. What's this action stuff?
We will now overthrow the authority, he said blandly.
How? Going to throw rocks at him?
That remains to be worked out. This is the planning stage.
I said, Prof, you know me. If kicking an authority was thing we could buy, I wouldn't worry about price.
Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Huh?
A price that was once paid.
Well, I'd go that high. But when I bet, I want the chance to win. Told Wyo last night, I don't object to long odds.
1 in 10 is what you said, Manny.
Duh, Wyo. Show me those odds, I'll tap putt. But can you?
No, Manuel, I can't.
Then why we talk? I can't see any chance.
Nor I, Manuel, but we approach it differently. Revolution is an art that I pursue rather than the goal I expect to achieve. Nor is this a source of dismay. A lost cause can be as spiritually satisfying as a victory.
Not me. Sorry.
Manny,
Wyo said suddenly,
ask Mike.
I stared. You serious?
Quite serious. If anyone can figure out odds, Mike should be able to, don't you think?
Possible.
Who, if I may ask,
Prof put in, is Mike?
I shrugged.
Just a nobody.
Mike is Manny's best friend. He's very good at figuring odds.
A bookie? My dear, if we bring in a fourth party, we start by violating the cell principle.
I don't see why. Wyo answered. Mike could be a member of the cell Manny will head.
True. I withdraw objection. Is he safe? You vouch for him? Or you, Manuel?
I said, he's dishonest, immature, practical joker, not interested in politics.
Manny, I'm going to tell Mike you said that. Professor, he's nothing of the sort, and we need him. In fact, he might be our chairman. And we three the cell under him, the executive cell.
Wyo, you getting enough oxygen?
I'm okay. I haven't been guzzling it the way you have. Think, Manny. Use imagination.
I must confess, said Prof, that I find these conflicting reports very conflicting.
Manny?
Oh, hell.
So, we told him. Between us, all about Mike. How he woke up, got his name, met Wyo.
Prof accepted idea of a self-aware computer easier than I accepted idea of snow first time I saw.
Prof just nodded and said,
Go on. But presently he said, This is the warden's own computer. Why not invite the warden to our meetings and be done with it?
We tried to reassure him. At last I said, Put it this way. Mike is his own boy, just as you are. Call him Rational Anarchist, for he's rational and he feels no loyalty to any government.
If this machine is not loyal to its owners, why expect it to be loyal to you?
A feeling. I treat Mike as well as I know how. He treats me the same way. I told how Mike had taken precautions to protect me. I'm not sure he could betray me to anyone who didn't have those signals. One to secure phone, other to retrieve what I've talked about or stored with him. Machines don't think way people do. But feel dead sure he wouldn't want to betray me. And probably could protect me even if somebody got those signals.
Manny, suggested the Y.O., why not call him? Once Professor De La Paz talks to him, he will know why we trust Mike.
Professor, we don't have to tell Mike any secrets until you feel sure of him.
I see no harm in that. Matter of fact, I admitted, already told him some secrets. I told him about recording last night's meeting and how I stored it.
Prof was distressed. Lyo was worried. I said, Damp it?
Nobody but me knows retrieval signal. Why, you know how Mike behaved about your pictures. Wouldn't let me have those pictures, even though I suggested lock on them. But if you two will stop oscillating, I'll call him, make sure that nobody has retrieved that recording, and tell him to erase. Then it's gone forever. Computer memory is all or nothing. Or can go one better. Call Mike and have him play record back into a recorder. Wiping storage. No ha-ha.
Don't bother, said Wyo. Professor, I trust Mike, and so will you.
On second thought, Prof admitted, I see little hazard from a recording of last night's meeting. One that large always contains spies, and one of them may have used a recorder as you did, Manuel. I was upset at what appeared to be your indiscretion. Weakness a member of a conspiracy must never have, especially one at the top, as you are.
Was not member of conspiracy when I fed that recording into Mike, and not now unless somebody quotes odds better than those so far.
I retract. You were not indiscreet. But are you seriously suggesting that this machine can predict the outcome of a revolution?
Don't know.
I think he can, said Wyo.
Hold it, Wyo. Prof, he could predict it, fed all significant data.
That's my point, Manuel. I do not doubt that this machine can solve problems I cannot grasp, but one of this scope. It would have to know, oh goodness, all of human history, all details of the entire social, political, and economic situation on Terra today, and the same for Luna. A wide knowledge of psychology in all its ramifications, a wider knowledge of technology with all its possibilities, weaponry, communications, strategy and tactics, agitprop techniques, classic authorities such as Clausewitz, Guevara, Morgenstern, Machiavelli, many others.
Is that all?
Is that all, my dear boy?
Prof, how many history books have you read?
I don't know. In excess of 1,000.
Mike can zip through that many this afternoon, speed limited only by scanning method. He can store data much faster. Soon, minutes, he would have every fact correlated with everything else he knows. Discrepancies noted. Probability values assigned to uncertainties. Prof, Mike reads every word of every newspaper up from Terra. Reads all technical publications. Reads fiction. Knows it's fiction. Because isn't enough to keep him busy, and is always hungry for more. If is any book he should read to solve this, say so. He can cram it down fast as I get it to him.
Prof blinked.
I stand corrected.
Very well. Let us see if he can cope with it. I still think there is something known as